who is here with us in the spirit, to all those that sponsored and contributed to the prison outreach yesterday. Talking of faith, you know, Prophet Joseph said something. He said, God will confirm to you that he's here with us in this ministry. When he was talking to that sister, we saw God in action at the prison crusade yesterday. Those that went, is that true? We saw God in action. We didn't go with big grammar. We didn't go with designer suits. We went with the power of the Holy Ghost. And we baptized how many people? 81 people were baptized yesterday. Just hearing the gospel for the first time. The discernment, the prophetic ministration was so much that we had to, because of time. In fact, it was as if there was a jailbreak yesterday, because the mercy of God came down and the prophecies that were just coming, whether you are guilty or not, it was about the Lord is releasing you. The Lord is releasing you. Freedom, 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 freedom. The prison knew that the Lord Jesus came. You didn't hear me? The prison knew that the Lord Jesus came. And I pray that even in your own situation, the Lord will arrive mightily in the name of Jesus. Our overseer who is physically not here is expressing his gratitude to all those, both online and the sponsors of the prison ministry. May God bless you, because we cooked for over 2,000 inmates. We cooked for over 2,000 people. So we didn't go with only power. We also turned 5 loaves and 2 fishes in order to feed the multitude, and not to talk of other provisions that we took. And may God bless everybody. The overseer is praying specially for you. He extends his gratitude and his blessings upon all those that have been a part of the sponsorship of our prison ministry. May the Lord reward you in the name of Jesus. Please, church, can we once again appreciate God for a successful prison outreach? God bless you. Before we go into the baby dedication and thanksgiving, please bear with us. Let's hear the word of the Lord. This afternoon or this morning, we want to look at something interesting. God's historical witnesses. Can we have the topic? God's historical witnesses. God's historical witnesses. IT, please show the topic. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 from verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 from verse 9. I pray that the Lord will pass through me to speak to you this afternoon in Jesus' name. It's not to hear my voice that matters, but to hear the voice of the Lord. So this session, Father, we ask that you take over and speak to all of us in the name of Jesus. It says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Next verse. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which was before us. And he says, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. If I'm to speak from the thoughts of the preacher in Ecclesiastes, the preacher is simply saying that history always repeats itself. There is no new thing under the sun. Somebody may say, what do you mean? Was there a smartphone in the days of Abraham? No, there was no smartphone, but there was communication. Was there an aeroplane in the days of Moses? There was no aeroplane, but there was transportation. Human behavior doesn't change. It only repeats itself across generations. In fact, science may advance, but human nature doesn't evolve. It remains the same. Human nature does not evolve. There's no advancement in human nature or character. What has been is what will continue to be. You can look at the past and predict what the future may be. From the knowledge of history, you can see certain people following the same trajectory, and you can predict that this will be the end of this path that these people are taking because of history. So it is very necessary that God should also give historical witnesses to the end time. Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 15, if you may see that scripture also. Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against any man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that is sinned. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. The days of our lives, the days, the point in time we are living in is referred to as the end time. Not the end time out of sentiment. Not the end time out of human predictions. But we call it end time by revelation, by the knowledge of God's word. If we are the end time, God must also give us witnesses, historical witnesses, witnesses from history that will let us know what will happen, that will let us know how things will play out, that will let us know the spirit, that will let us know the move, the behavior of man, that will even let us know how salvation will play out at the end time. There is a popular saying in the end time message that God will not leave himself without a witness. So we have historical witnesses such that if we can look properly into these historical witnesses, we will have a clear understanding of how salvation will play out at the end time. We have a clear picture of how man will relate with God, of what the behavior of man will be, and how God will save his own at the end time. We have witnesses, God's historical witnesses. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17 from verse 22. There's nothing new I'm saying. Even as this preacher said, there's nothing new under the sun. So me too, there's nothing new I'm saying. And he said unto the disciples, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation, that physical generation when Jesus was alive. But it goes further. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Next verse we are reading, please. And they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30 finally. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Have you ever pondered why these two generations? The words that the Lord Jesus spoke were not spoken randomly. He didn't speak haphazardly. He didn't just say anything that came to mind. He was referring to the days of his coming, the generation of his coming, the end time, the end of God's program for salvation for mankind. And of all generations from the days of Adam, of all generations from Adam to Malachi, even to John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus only used these two generations as a reference to what things will be like at the end time. These two generations, permit me to say, are God's historical witnesses for us. In fact, I may call them prophetic end times. Anyone that is serious about salvation in the days we are living in needs to understudy these two generations. Why didn't he use David? Why didn't he use Abraham? Why didn't he use the generation of Moses? Why of all generations? The days of Noah and the days of Lot. Praise the living God. Anyone that is serious about going to heaven must look closely, must study, must cross-check what is it about the days of Noah and the days of Lot that has become a reference to my time. In fact, in studying, you even know this thing where they say end time, end time, end time. I beg. It is in studying these two generations that you even know whether truly you are at the end time. Because we are not at the end time because of COVID-19. During the week, I saw that there was COVID-19 in Cross River State. I think they say about 10 people are infected or so. But when the pandemic came, it is still very, very hypocritical to me that many pastors that have never spoken about rapture or the coming of the Lord became end time preachers because of COVID-19. COVID-19 has come and gone now as the end come. Somebody even said 2026, the rapture will take place. A popular preacher. I don't want to call names because I'm still very young so that I can live long. Yes, now, on this pulpit, they've shot our pastor before. They've shot him. How many of us are aware of this? We are not hiding. Why did they shoot him? Was he dragging land with somebody? It's because of what he's saying. So please, help. Let me not call name. I'm still young. My wife is very beautiful. A popular preacher said 2026, the rapture will take place. Popular, highly respected in the Pentecostal world. I will not give you a hint. We are being careful. But that church, they used to palm their head. There are many churches where they palm their head. No? So we are not saying end time because of any phenomenon that just comes up. Fire is burning everywhere, end time. Economic meltdown, end time. No, the truth is there will be distress of nations. The Bible says so. But in the same Matthew 24, it says all these are the beginning of sorrows. He said you will hear of wars and rumors of war. He said be not troubled, the end is not yet. We had the First World War, we had the Second World War. And I can tell you there were preachers in those days that were saying, it's the end, it's the end. But we are still here. A more serious, a more deadly pandemic than COVID happened in 1918, the Spanish flu, influenza. Some people said killed up to 40 to 80 million people. COVID-19 didn't kill up to 40 to 80 million people. So those days, there would have been preachers shouting, end, 1918 till now. More than 100 years, we are still here. Those are just beginning of the sorrows, of things to come. Yes, they also let us know that we are in the season. But now, more than ever before, we are seeing things making sense. We are seeing events making prophecies clear. Such that when we say we are at the end time, it is not because of what we feel, it is because of what we know. Praise the living God. So we must study these two generations because there are similarities in human behaviors in those generations and the end time. Also, there is a pattern of salvation we see in those two generations that is similar to salvation at this end time. Praise the living God. So let's look at the generation of Noah. We shall divide the days of Noah into four parts. The days of Noah. We all know what happened. And as it applies to us, the story is majorly in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7. What was it in the days of Noah that reflects what is happening now? Let's start from Genesis chapter 1. Let's first read. Chapter 6 from verse 1. Let's read before we break it down. Let's read from chapter 6 verse 1 to verse 13. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Was he not flesh before? He was flesh before, but you understand what he's saying. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Okay, we'll stop in verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Okay, just add verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now let's go back to the slide. What was it in the days of Noah that will reflect condition of things at the end time? What was it in the days of Noah that will pattern after the end time generation? Number one is the human condition. The human condition in the days of Noah is a reflection of what will be like, what it will be like at the time of the end. Genesis 6:3 says that man became flesh. Let's read it. The flesh there, they've been flesh and blood from beginning. Let's read it. Genesis 6:3. Okay, bear with us. The IT is a little bit slow. Maybe they have an issue with their system. Just bear with us. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is what? Let me ask you a question, church. Was man not flesh before this time? No, show me now. I'm talking to them. I'm asking a question. Was man not flesh before this time? He was flesh. So why the qualification, he also is flesh? Which flesh was he talking of? It's the flesh you see in Galatians 5:19. Man became carnal. Let's see it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. What is known as the works of the flesh? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now the works of what? A church, are you with me? I know the weather is cool, but please, don't let the fire of God go down with you. We're in church. The works of the flesh are what? Manifest. What are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And he says, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in tempers, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Brethren, when the Bible says, when God says that man is become flesh, God was saying that the character of man, the condition of man, has become what we just read in Galatians 5. Man became carnal to the core. Fornication, adultery, revelings, idolatry, envies, murders became the order of the day in the time of Noah. Are we not experiencing the same condition in our time? If you read history, I love history, both secular and church history, you discover that many things that are now normal used to be an abomination in time past. Even the music. Let me use 30, 40 years. 20, 30, 40 years ago. Okay, let me use 20 and 30 years ago. Let me stay within my own range. The secular songs of those days, they are like the gospel song of now. Eh? What do they sing about today? Yansh, breast, yansh, breast, drugs, money. We live in a generation that songs that should be banned are the songs we sing. When you are growing up, let me ask somebody in his 50s or 60s, yes. The bad songs that you are hearing that day, the secular songs, the holiness of that time was this kind of deeper life holiness. Those days, you that you're not truly fully born again, you're not born again, the kind of songs that you even sing in the club, are they as corrupt as the songs we hear now? I'm using that one as an example. Those days you had musicians that are worldly that will sing their secular songs and still end it with praising God. Like King Sonny Ade, Elsa Debi Abi. They will sing, you know they are not Christian musicians, but they will sing their secular songs, but they will still sing to praise God because the corruption was not much in what they do. Even if they were corrupt ones, they were not in the majority. Compare with now. It was difficult for one to have access to pornography. You have to go and buy the cassette or the magazine or the CD. But now it comes to you unsolicited on your phone. You just see an advert pop up. Pew. That's why it is difficult to parent in our generation, because your teenager that has not developed into full maturity has access to a smartphone. You are not there. You don't know what he's seeing. It's very difficult to parent to train up children in this age. You must be strict on your principles and standard. If not, you will open the door for certain things. Man has become carnal. Not that his sinful nature was not there. It was that now it was fully manifest. That was how it was in the days of Noah. Go back to that slide. Men became mighty. You know the meaning of that mightiness? You know, let's read Genesis 6:4. I want to pass a comment. Genesis 6:4. In fact, take it from verse 3. Genesis chapter 6 from verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. This is not saying that man's lifespan is to be 120 years old. That was judgment. That in 120 years' time, I will wipe out man. That was the meaning. We'll get there. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which are of old men of renown. These sons of God were not angels. We have taught that. They were not angels, though. But that's not my emphasis. We have taught that. He says, men became mighty. It is similar to what we have in our generation. The next scripture we will see the usage of the word mighty is Genesis 6:10. Let's read Genesis 6:10. Nimrod. Genesis 10:6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. Verse 7. I think I missed that scripture. Genesis chapter 10. Verse 8 and 9. And Cush begat Nimrod. Verse 8. He began to be what? Church, you are not responding. If I say everybody now, prosperity, key of breakthrough, you will respond. I'm talking to your soul. And I'm not rushing so that you will have understanding. We don't compare people to repent. We open their eyes so that they will know why they must live right. It's not by scaring anybody. It's by knowing the truth. Cush begat Nimrod. And he began to be what? Who was Nimrod? Nimrod was the ringleader, the leader, the king. The leader of the clan that built the Tower of Babel. God said, multiply, spread. Nimrod said, no, we will make us a name. We will build a tower that will reach heaven. The usage of the word there says it was mighty. So when in Genesis 6, the Bible says that men became mighty, it was that men became rivals to God. Men go to an estate where they felt they didn't need God. They trusted in what they could do. If I can build a tower to reach heaven, if I can gather the people, why do I need a God? This is what is going on in science and technology. It's unfortunate that the part of the world we live in is not as advanced technologically as the advanced world. What man is achieving in technology today is making man deny the existence of God. That is the mightiness. Medical science, they've gone far. Technologically, they've gone far. Last month or early this month, you saw the rockets that went to the moon, Artemis 2. Even if it didn't land in the moon, they left Earth. Went within how many miles of the moon and came back. That is some technological breakthrough. They have sent a machine to Mars, another planet. When you are talking of technology, now we are having service in real time. In another part of the world, somebody is watching us in real time. We don't have to write a letter that will wait 3 months. That is the mightiness of man. The giant of our day is not physical giant, it's intellectual gigantism. Intellectual giants. They became too self-sufficient that looking or seeking for God became unimportant. That was the mightiness. While looking at the days of Noah, it's you that will start applying. Does it resemble our day? Then you will know if it's the end time. I need to be fast because we have so many things to look at. The wickedness of man was great. Violence, war, banditry, terrorism, hostility, everything you are seeing today. Nowadays, you are traveling from somewhere, you enter bus, you are watching, you are checking everybody, whether you did not enter one chance or second chance, because the wickedness of man has increased. It didn't start today, it has happened before. I've said it before on this pulpit, that even in human relationship, we are not the way we used to be before. Now, people will be living on the streets, they don't even know themselves, even in the same compound. Those days, everybody knew one another on the street. You can tell this is the son of Mr. Lagbaja. This is the daughter of Sister Lagbaja. Everybody knew one another on the street. Even in the same compound, the generation we live in, we don't even know ourselves. You are more connected to somebody in Australia through your WhatsApp than the neighbor living on top of you, in the flat above you. If your house is burning, that is when you will know that the neighbor in Australia, the friend in Australia, is not as important as that neighbor that is living under your flat. But it is the condition of man to us. It's not even, I like my peace. I like, you see somebody in your compound, you don't even know if you are neighbors, you are living together. Everybody is a stranger. It's part of the wickedness of man. It is the condition, it's the human condition that our generation has brought us to. Even in the church. How many of us greeted one another in the row we are sitting in today? After service now, everybody is going. You will see somebody trekking, but you don't know the person, so you're even afraid to carry somebody, to give him a lift to the bus stop. That was how the generation of Noah was, wicked and corrupt. The Lord says, this is how it will be in the time of the end. Let's be fast. Next slide. What else do we need to say about the generation of Noah? That God concluded a judgment. The end kind of message you are preaching is not noise, it's understanding. I can come here and be shouting and shouting, but you need understanding so that you will know you'll be properly positioned. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, he said, man is carnal. Because of that, his days will be 120 years. That was not the lifespan of man. I've heard some people say, God reduced the age of man, that man will not exceed 120. No, that's not the meaning. The meaning is that, in 120 years' time, I will round up the program of man. God concluded a judgment. Just like we know that the gospel is supposed to be with the Gentiles for 2,000 years, 2 days. After that, it's going back to Israel. So when we are telling you that after the rapture, there will be no salvation for Gentiles, it is just similar to what we saw here, where God is saying in 120 years' time, the days of man are remaining 120 years. God concluded this judgment in his mind. Note this. Next slide. What else do we say about the days of Noah? But something happened. Before we heard of Noah, God concluded the judgment that 120 years' time I will wipe out man. But now let's read Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, so that we will know how it applies to us. And it, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Now, this is a recap. Noah was a just man, perfect in the nation. Noah walked with God. And the sons, Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Does it sound like your own generation? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, brethren, pay close attention, because in the last series that our pastor took, he mentioned this. And I still think we need to stress it. That's why I've come back with the same topic. The end of all flesh. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The 120 years was for the end of all flesh. It was not the age of man, that every man that is born of a woman will live. The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Then God told Noah what to do. Make an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark. You shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion whereof you shall make it of. The length shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven. And every living thing, everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons who are with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Now, by the time we get to verse 22, Noah did something. The Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. Brethren, this is the third thing we should see, because I'm going to emphasize all this. God concluded he was going to judge the world, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What was the grace that Noah found? Noah was informed of God's intention to judge the world. Noah received the knowledge of the coming destruction. Please pay attention. We are talking salvation here. And I believe that if you can get this understanding, you will understand what the end time message is. Noah received an information. It was God in his own mind that concluded, I am judging the world. Enough is enough of the carnality of man. And let me tell you something. He is God. He doesn't change. If God destroyed the generation of Noah because of violence, because of wickedness and corruption, what makes you think our generation will last forever? I hope you know there was no law. Because some people are quick to say, Old Testament. Noah was not under any law of Moses. If God destroyed the whole world because of the character of man, because of the terrible human condition, that should let you know that destruction is still hanging upon this world. Only that this time, not by water, but by fire.
Noah got the knowledge. God spoke to him. This is my intention. This is my plan. I am going to destroy man. But this is what you will do to escape this coming destruction. Is somebody listening to me? That's the grace of Noah. That's the grace he found. I want to destroy this world. Noah, I've looked. I'm sending a flood of water. But I have a program. I still need mankind. So this is what you will do. So that you that believe and any other person that believes will escape this coming judgment. He told Noah what to do to escape the flood. Brethren, what did he tell Noah? God told him to build an ark, a ship, a special kind of boat. Please, this is my, I want to lay emphasis on something. It was God that gave Noah the measurements, the dimensions, and the materials to use. It was God that told Noah, this is how you will build the ark. This is the material you will use to build the ark. This is the measurement you will use for the ark. The Bible says that Noah did everything that God told him to do. Now see Genesis chapter 7 verse 1. Noah found grace. But can I tell you something? In Genesis chapter 6, when God was still talking to Noah, Noah was not yet righteous before God. Pay attention. We are talking of end time salvation. This is when Noah became righteous. Genesis 7:1. Genesis 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Why? For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. What made him righteous? Genesis chapter 6 verse 22. We read it earlier. Genesis 6 22. What made him righteous? What made him righteous? Genesis 6 22. Thus did Noah. According to what? According to all that God commanded him. So did what? That was what made Noah righteous. Are we together? Sorry about that. That was what made him righteous before God. Praise the living God. Noah got a knowledge from God. He acted on the knowledge, did what God commanded, and because he did that, God said, you are righteous. Enter into the ark that you built. Brethren, Psalm 3 verse 8. Psalm 3 verse 8. We are looking at the end time. I'm going to talk on this. I'm just bringing out things so that we'll see something. Salvation belongeth unto who? Salvation belongeth unto who? Who is the author of salvation? Who is the designer of salvation? Salvation is God's business. God did not tell Noah, build the ark the way you want. God didn't tell Noah, use any kind of ship. Titanic or anyone you like, or ship is ship. God didn't even tell him, build a submarine. God told him what to do. Noah did not improve on God's dimensions. Noah did not decrease from God's measurement. He did what God commanded and God said he was righteous. Next point, before I will conclude it. Next slide. Note something also about the days of Noah before we come back now and give a clear picture of how it will be. Only a few souls were saved from the destruction. When Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, I hope you are reasoning. Please, we are not reading about Noah. We are not doing history. We are not doing history. We are talking about salvation. How many people we have saved in Noah's generation? 8 souls. But do you know that the Bible says that Noah preached? And according to the timeline between Genesis 6 and Genesis 7 was a period of 100 years. So Noah was building the ark. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What do you mean an ark? Yes, God told me judgment is coming. And he said, this is the only thing I will do to escape the coming judgment. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What do you mean an ark? God told me that judgment is coming. Don't forget that it had never rained in the days of Noah. So nobody knew what he was saying. He was mad. Somebody could have said, please take this man to Yaba left or Yaba right. Something is doing him. He needs to see the psychiatrist. But Noah heard from God. Noah received a knowledge that others did not have. He obeyed the instruction that God gave to him. And he preached for 100 years, according to Genesis 2 Peter 2:5. But despite all this, only 8 souls, Noah and his immediate family, were saved. Now let's come home. Let's read it again. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Let's read it again and start applying it to us. Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of who? And as it was in the days of who? A church, you're not responding to me. Many of us like sugar quoting preachers. We will give you something that is sweet to the flesh. In Right Assembly, we don't sugarcoat the word of God. We will preach the truth. This is an end time message church. So whether you respond or not, we will hear the truth. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. That means when Christ will be coming back again, how it happened in Noah's time that we just x-rayed now, that is how it will be. Men will be corrupt and wicked. Violence, immorality, carnality will be the order of the day. Brethren, let me ask you a sincere question. Is it happening now? Even in the church, even in the church, is sin not increasing? No, answer me now. If it's no, say no. How many churches can you go to in this generation and feel holy? And you dare not point a finger or say anything. They'll say you are judging, you are condemning. You don't know God. Jesus is love. Jesus is grace. Unknown to them, that the Bible says that men will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Jude chapter 1 verse 4. You may remove the slide. We are done with the slide, IT. Jude 1 4. Jude chapter 1, Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men doing what? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. If the church is not saved, then what about outside the church? You and I know that the generation is more immoral than ever before. Violence is increasing. Corruption is increasing. If you don't believe corruption is increasing, you and I in Nigeria, what has brought us to this level? How many people can count how many clubs and brothels they passed on their way to church this morning? How many people can count the immorality they come across on a weekly basis? We are living at that time of the coming of the Lord. Because as it was happened in the days of Noah, so it is happening now. People are now comfortable with wickedness. And another thing that happened in that day of Noah, we have looked at it. Do you know that apart from the people that Noah preached to, it was not everybody that knew that judgment was coming? Reason with me, church. It was only Noah now. He was the original source. And then he told people, his family believed him. The Bible said he preached. 2 Peter 2:5 said he was a preacher of righteousness. What was the righteousness? Judgment is coming. Enter the ark. That was the righteousness. So not repent. The righteousness of Noah's time was judgment is coming. Enter into the ark. The righteousness was not repent. Because after the flood, Noah drank. The Bible said he was a drunkard. He drank and became drunk. So the righteousness of Noah was not be born again, repent. The righteousness was enter into the ark and be saved. And what made him righteous was that he obeyed. He was preaching. But can I tell you, not many people knew the message of Noah. Not many people. When our pastor told us about the secret revival, the chosen revival, it is true. Many people have gone to church today. How many people know this fact that the Lord Jesus is coming soon? A sister had the revelation of rapture during the week. A house fellowship leader told me. So when I saw her on Friday, I asked him, do you go? She said she went to. Such revelations are unique to a particular set of people. Do you know that there are churches where you will sing, this world is not my home? Brother Sam, what would they tell you? Die now. A pastor will tell you, then go and die now. Does that pastor, will he ever have a revelation of rapture? So in the days of Noah, many people didn't even know that judgment is coming. Many people didn't know, and even those who saw Noah building an ark, just that they see you ordering your life now to be a Christian according to God's word. Many people didn't believe. If they had believed, they would have entered into the ark. Can I tell you this? As I grow in ministry, I understand some things more and more. And personally, I've come to a level where I now truly know that ministry is not friendship. Your message is for those ordained for it. Don't you ever think that if you try to befriend somebody, that will make the person like your message or like what you're doing. I've come to understand it by experience. Many saw Noah building the ark. How many believed and followed? This particular end time message, the people that will believe it all over the world will be few. We didn't say the people that will go to end time message churches, because there are many people that go to Bride Assembly Church who don't believe the end time message. No, it's facts. No, it's facts. It's facts. Is that one is fact. There are many people listening to me seated here now that don't believe. In fact, some people even say, oh God, do fast, go. Right here. I know be prophets, but they talk facts. That one is fact. You are not doing anything special. You are only fulfilling scripture. The Bible already lets us know that it's few that will be saved. Why is this message necessary? Both to encourage the true minister and to let you, the child of God that is building the ark like Noah, to make you aware so that you will not be swayed by dangerous influences. So that you will not allow people who are not seeing what you are seeing affect your own faith. So that you not allow people who are not going where you are going to slow you down. Only few will be saved. If you have found the true way of God, build your ark like Noah. Don't expect crowd. One of these days, everything will end. Don't come to church and because you are seeing somebody in the church, he's calling on your God. Noah, you say Jehovah spoke to you. I went to Jehovah yesterday. I went to worship him. He did not tell me anything like judgment is coming. This Noah, you must be mad. And you want to go to heaven. That's why I'm not doing this. That's why you're living like this. I beg. I know how I serve my God. Is it not the same God that is blessing me, that is fighting my battles? Don't be stumbled. Noah, follow your revelation. Brother Noah, sister Noah, follow your revelation. The day the flood came, the people that knew the message of Noah cried Adainon. The church is a mixed multitude. Sometimes when we come and magnify the negativities in the church, we make it look as if there are no positivities also. No. When I say the church, I'm talking of the living church. And if Bride Assembly is a living church, it's part of it. The church is a mixed multitude. But you follow the revelation of the end time message. Pastor, this woman, she see the way she dresses outside. She does not reflect what we preach. It no concern you. Follow the message. Pastor, this brother is a member of the church. He's beating his wife. He's chasing away his wife to remind. It no concern you. Follow the end time message. Because even this week that passed, driving to church, I saw a bona fide member of the church on correct trousers. Not track suit for sport, correct one. They pass my front like this for traffic for her go. Whether she see me, because I did try to wave them, or she no see me, or whether she carry face intentionally, I don't know. It doesn't concern me anymore. It's only a reflection of your revelation. Don't you ever, so if you're expecting, everybody, all of us should be the same now. All of us should be, don't expect people to be like you. I'm talking to a brother Noah and a sister Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. Don't expect people to be like you. Do you know the kind of ridicule and mockery that Noah faced? Doing something that intellectually was crazy. There had been no rain. You said you received the revelation that you should build an ark. You said this and that. And you know the worst part? He didn't build the ark this week and next week the flood came. For a period of 100 years, he remained patient and consistent. I want to believe. I hope you know that Noah had other brothers and sisters, other children of Lamech. Where were they? Why did they not enter into the ark? Who told you it's all your church members that will go to heaven? Where were the other brothers and sisters of Noah? Why did they not enter into the ark? You just be sure that you have caught the true revelation of the word of God. Because we know that there's fanaticism. We know all the nonsense we see in the name of rapture. Like one woman, popularly called Mommy Gio. Sister Happiness, where's Sister Happiness? Your former pastor. You know the nonsense she's saying is false. When you came here, your eyes started opening. She's popular. So the skit makers have caught many things. And she's not one of the Pentecostal juggernauts, so I can refer to her. Skit makers have caused many things she has said and used it to be making jokes. That's fanaticism. That's error. Then one day, Sister Happiness here told me that the woman, they collect first fruits. All your income in January, she will tell you, in fact, it goes with a curse, right? It goes with a curse. But that's somebody preaching holiness and rapture. We have seen the motive. It's Kudi that she's after. So we are not looking at all those ones. All the ones in Warri who are saying that the rapture will take place in their church. If you are not there, you are not born again. All those are lies. See, before the original will come, there will be carnal impersonations. Or when the original is moving, Satan will raise carnal impersonations. You see people quit working, doing a man of things, saying the rapture, then somebody will not go to school. Somebody will not use perfume. Some people will not even be brushing their mouth, rapture. That's error. That's not of God. But when you get the true revelation of the end time message, brother, sister, be like Noah. Because as it was in his days, that sister it will be here. Corruption, wickedness, immorality will increase. It will increase both in the church, outside the church. Men will be more wicked. It will. Men will also advance technologically. They'll be mighty. Are you seeing what is going on with AI in our generation? See, people are still complaining of Gen Z. If you are still complaining of Gen Z, your own is small. Is it Alpha Kids, Abi Beta Kids? The generation that is born, that grow up knowing AI. AI is all they use. Those are children that are giving birth to, that are giving smart tabs and smartphones. They didn't play about like you when you are growing up. So what is forming them is AI. Let's wait 20, 30 years if the Lord tarries. Let's see what will become of that generation. Let's see what will become of that generation. Let's see what will become of it. So man will get worse. And this way of truth, this end time message, will never attract many. No matter the level of anointing in Bride Assembly, we will never be the biggest church in the world. Did you hear me? I'm not cursing Bride Assembly. I'm telling you a fact. Show me one church in Nigeria. Maybe I don't know. But tell me so that I can go and confirm that has the level of grace we have in Bride Assembly Church. No, if you do, tell me now. In this church, we know they fight anybody for talking. If you know any church that has the level of grace we have in Bride Assembly, let me know. But how big is Bride Assembly Church? In fact, among end-time message churches, we are even like the biggest one in Nigeria, if not in Africa. So if among end-time message churches, this is one of the biggest, how will others be? Our way will never attract many because many will not be saved. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. I know I took time to bring out some things, but the exhortation is to let somebody stay focused like Noah. Because as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it will be. He said, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. This is my emphasis. If the righteous scarcely be saved, He says, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It is not coming to Bride Assembly Church that makes you saved. It is believing the end time message, receiving it, obeying the end time message like Noah did, that will make you righteous. And that is what will make you rapturable. So if your anchor is, I belong to Bride Assembly Church, I belong to Capstone Ministry, I belong to this, I belong to that, you are far from salvation. Salvation will be like a film trick in the eyes of many. We know what film trick is. Where one man will jump from here, he has landed here. Ha! Then behind the scene, you will know that if it's not camera tricks, then it was a rope that took him to jump there. One day I saw, just scrolling, I saw the making of Spider-Man. You know Spider-Man now? I will be walking on wall. Walking on wall, vertically. I saw that it was actually on the floor, horizontally. It was camera that made it. I said, see what technology is doing. That's film trick. That is how the rapture will be. That is how salvation will play out in the end of our own time. Firstly, many Bible carriers will miss it. Many Bible carriers will miss it. Simply because they didn't do like Noah did. Brethren, this message came out of the sermon of Pastor on the Chosen Revival. We need to reemphasize that something is going on. You know what is going on? Noah is building his ark. That is what is happening now. Brother Noah, Sister Noah is building his ark, an ark. And one day, the ark will finish and God will tell Brother Noah, Sister Noah, enter into the ark. I have seen you righteous. Rapture has taken place. Are you building according to God's design? Have you caught the revelation that truly we are ending, we are heading for an end? Are you looking at the signs all around the world? Are you seeing biblical signs that point to us? You still have hope in your country. If you like, change government 10 times. Distresses of nation will continue. One of the reasons I've never voted in my life, especially since I became a Christian, is because I have that understanding. Forget it. Don't spiritualize it. Well, anything politics, people get very touchy. So let me stay away. I have the understanding. All I will do is anybody that is there, I'll pray for them. Now let this government favor me. That's all I will do. The stress of nations will continue, even if you put the best person at that position. Human condition will become more wicked. It is because there is an agenda. Time is rounding up. Time is rounding up. If God judged Noah's generation, a judgment awaits our own generation. Today we will not look at the other generation, the other historical witness, the days of Lot, because time will not allow us. If God judged Noah's generation, and if it is clear that we are seeing the same conditions in our time, what God promised Noah is that I will not use water to judge the world anymore. It's to let you know that this civilization is also coming to an end. It sounds crazy. Nobody in his right intellect will agree with what we are saying. Man is advancing. Man is increasing. Yeah, you are talking of a coming judgment that will put an end to man's, to this generation. It doesn't make sense. But if you have met with the Lord Jesus, you will know it makes sense and is the truth. Brethren, don't joke with salvation. Let's stop religion. Let's stop churchianity. Build your ark according to God's design. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He's the designer, the architect, the tailor of salvation. Follow his pattern. Build your ark, because the ark you build is what will carry you through the flood. If it is not according to God's design, that ark will sink. The ark of Noah, everybody that knows a ship knows that there's something they call the rudder. A small thing that is like a steering. I think it's called rudder, right? There was no mention of a rudder in Noah's boat. Ships have anchors that they will cast if they want to keep the ship still at bay. There was no anchor in Noah's boat. Do you know that the only window in Noah's boat was a roof, not your kind of window? So Noah could not even open the window when the rain was falling. Opening it will allow the water coming. The Bible says that God shut him in. It's happening now. It sounds as if these people are fanatical. These people are overdoing their own. God is blessing me. God is taking care of me. God is fighting my battle. That means I'm okay. I'm fine with God. I pray that you will not cry at thine own. Build your ark after God's design. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. It is happening now. What side will you be on? The side in the ark that the flood will carry, or the side of those who will perish in the flood? Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us.
Open my eyes.
Let's ask Him to help us.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee.
Help me, Lord Jesus. Name of bread. If you have been blessed, can you put your hands together?